ॐ अज्ञानसमिदान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोहित्यम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपपदामयम् ददाति सपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुश्रीयुतपदकमलम् श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं त्वां सजीवम् स्वाद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त्य राधाकान्त नमस्ते सप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधीवृन्दात्मनेष्ठनी वृखवानुसुते देवी प्रणामामि हरिप्रिये। वञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौरभक्त वृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। इंट्रोडक्शन टू गीतोपनिषद बाय ए सी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी द ऑथर ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम इजी जर्नी टू अदर प्लैनेट एडिटर ऑफ बैक टू गॉड हेड एटसेट्रा। भगवद गीता इज नोन ऑल्सो गीतोपनिषद द एसेंस ऑफ वैदिक नॉलेज एंड वन ऑफ द मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट ऑफ द वेरियस उपनिषद इन वैदिक लिटरेचर। दिस भगवद गीता there are many commentations in English and what is the necessity of another English commentation of the Bhagavad Gita can be explained in the following way. One, one American lady, Mrs. Charlotte Devlin, asked me to recommend an English edition of Bhagavad Gita, which she can read. Of course, in America, there are so many editions of English Bhagavad Gita, but so far I have seen that not only in America, but also India, none of them can be said strictly as authoritative, because almost every one of them have expressed their own opinion through the commentation of the Bhagavad Gita without touching the spirit of Bhagavad Gita as it is. The spirit of Bhagavad Gita is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita itself. It is just like this. If we want to take a particular medicine, then we have to follow the particular direction mentioned on the label of the medicine. We cannot take the particular medicine according to our own direction or by the direction of a friend, but we have to take the medicine under the direction given on the label of the bottle and as directed by the physician. Similarly, the Bhagavad Gita also should be taken or accepted as it is directed by the speaker himself. The speaker of the Bhagavad Gita is Lord Sri Krishna. He is mentioned in every page of the Bhagavad Gita as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Of course, Bhagavan is sometimes designated to any powerful person or any powerful demigod. But here, Bhagavan is certainly designated to Sri Krishna, a great personality. But at the same time, we must know that Lord Sri Krishna, as he is confirmed by all the acharyas, I mean to say, even Shankaracharya, Ramanucharya, Madhyacharya, Nimbakaswami, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and many others in India, there were many authoritative scholars and acharyas, I mean authorities of the Vedic knowledge, all of them, including Shankaracharya, has accepted Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. The Lord Himself has also established himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita. He is accepted so in the Brahma Sanghita and all Puranas, especially in the Bhagavat Puranam, Krishna Su Bhagavan Sam. So therefore, we should take Bhagavad Gita as it is directed by the Personality of Godhead Himself. So, in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Imam Vivasati Yogam Prasvaman Aham Abhayam Vivasyan Manabe Praha Manu Rikha Kavet Bravit Evam Parampara Pratam Imam Rajar Sayo Viduhu Sakale Neha Mahata Yoganastra Parantapa Saivayam Mayati Adya Yoga Prakta Puratanaha Vaktusi Me Takasiti Rahasam Jita Uttam. The idea is, the Lord says to Arjuna that this yoga, this system of yoga, Bhagavad Gita, was first spoken by me to the sun god. And the sun god explained to Manu. Manu explained to Ikkhaku. And in that way, by disciplic succession, one after another, this yoga system is coming, and in course of time, this system is now lost, and therefore, I am speaking to you the very same yoga system again, the very same old yoga system of Bhagavad Gita or Gita Upanishad. Because you are my devotee and you are my friend. Therefore, it is possible for you only to understand. Now the purpose is that Bhagavad Gita is a treatise which is specially meant for the devotee of the Lord. There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely the jnani, the yogi, and the bhakta, or the impersonalist, or the meditator, or the devotee. So here it is clearly mentioned, the Lord says to Arjuna that I am speaking or I am making you the first man of the parampara. Because the old parampara or the disciple succession is now broken, therefore, I wish to establish again another parampara in the same line of thought as it was coming down from the sun god to others. So you take it and you distribute it. Or the system, the yoga system of Bhagavad Gita may now be distributed through you, you become the authority of understanding Bhagavad Gita. Now here is the direction that Bhagavad Gita is specially instructed to Arjuna, the devotee of the Lord, the direct student of Krishna, and not only that, he is intimately in touch with Krishna as friend. That's what Bhagavad Gita is understood by a person who has similar qualities like Krishna. That means he must be a devotee, he must be in direct relationship with the Lord. As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he has a direct relationship also with the Lord. That is a subject matter very long, but briefly it can be stated that a devotee is in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in five ways. One may be a devotee in a passive state. One may be a devotee in an active state. One may be a devotee as a friend. One may be a devotee as parent, and one may be a devotee as conjugal lover. So Arjuna was a devotee in relationship with the Lord as a friend. The Lord can become a friend. Of course, this friendship and the conception of friendship which we have got in a mundane world, there is a gulf of difference. This is transcendental friendship, which not that everyone will have the relationship with the Lord, but everyone has got a particular relationship with the Lord, and that particular relationship is evoked by the perfection of devotional service. At the present status of our life, we have not only forgotten the Supreme Lord, but also we have forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. Every living being, out of many, many millions and billions of living beings, each and every living being has got a particular relationship with the Lord, eternally. That is called Sarup. Sarup, and by the process of devotional service, one can revive that Sarup of oneself. And that stage is called Sarup Siddhi, perfection of one's constitutional position. So, Arjuna was a devotee and he was in touch with the Supreme Lord in friendship. Now, this Bhagavad Gita was explained to Arjuna, and how Arjuna accepted it, that should also be noted. How Arjuna accepted the Bhagavad Gita is mentioned in the 10th chapter, just like Arjuna Uvacha. Param Brahma परम धाम पवित्रम परमम भवान पुरुषम शाश्वतम दिव्यम आदि देव अजम विभु आहुष्याम ऋषय सर्वे देवर्षि नारद तथा असित देवल व्यास स्वयं से ब्रवीति में सर्वमेता कृतन मन यत मान बदसी केशव नहीं से भगवान वृत्ति विदुत देवा न दानवा। अर्जुन से आफ्टर हियरिंग भगवद गीता फ्रॉम the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he accepts Krishna as Param Brahma, the Supreme Brahma, Brahma, every living being is Brahma, but the Supreme Living being or the Supreme Personality of God is the Supreme Brahma or Supreme Living. And Param Dhamma means he is the Supreme Rest of everything. And Pavitra means he is pure from material contamination. And it addressed as Purusam. Purusam means the supreme enjoyer. Sarsatam. Sarsatam means from very beginning. It is the first person. Vidva, transcendental. Deva. The supreme personality of God. Ajam, never born. Vimho. The greatest. Now, one may doubt that because Krishna was the friend of Arjuna, therefore he might say all these things to his own friend. But Arjuna, just to drive out this kind of doubt in the mind of the readers of Bhagavad Gita, he established his proposition by the authorities. He says that Lord Sri Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead not only by himself, Arjuna, but he is so accepted by authorities like Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyasa. These personalities are great personalities in distributing the Vedic knowledge. They are accepted by all acharyas. Therefore, Arjuna says that whatever you have spoken so far to me, I accept them as completely perfect. Sarvameta vitanamanne. I take it, I believe it, that whatever you have spoken, they are all right. And your personality of Godhead is very difficult to understand. And therefore, you cannot be known by even the demigods. You cannot be known even by the demigods. That means the Supreme Personality Godhead cannot be known even by greater personalities than the human being, and how a human being can understand Sri Krishna without becoming him, devotee. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita should be taken up in the spirit of devotee of Lord Sri Krishna. One should not think that he is equal on the same level of Sri Krishna, or one should not think that he is an ordinary personality, maybe a very great personality. No. Lord Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, at least theoretically, on the statement of Bhagavad Gita, or on the statement as Arjuna of Arjuna, the person who is trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita, we should accept Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then with that submissive spirit, unless one receives this Bhagavad Gita in a submissive spirit and oral reception, it is very difficult to understand Bhagavad Gita, because it is a great mystery. So, in this Bhagavad Gita, we may survey what is this Bhagavad Gita. This Bhagavad Gita is meant for delivering persons from the nuisance of this material existence. Every man is in difficulty in so many ways, as Arjuna also was in difficulty in the matter of fighting the battle of Kurukshetra, and as such he surrendered unto Sri Krishna, and therefore this Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Similarly, not only Arjuna, but every one of us is always full of anxieties due to our this material existence. Asadgraha. It is our existence is in the environment or atmosphere of non-existence. But actually, we are not non-existence. Our existence is eternal. But somewhere or other, we are pushed into this asat. Asat means which does not exist. Now, out of so many human beings who are actually inquiring about his position as to what he is, why he is put into this awkward position of suffering, unless one is attuned to this position, that why I am suffering, I do not want all these sufferings, I have tried to make a solution of this, all these sufferings, but I have failed. Unless one is in that position, he is not to be considered a perfect human being. Humanity begins when this sort of inquiries are awakened in one's small mind. In the Brahma Sutra, this inquiry is called Brahma Jignasa. Adhatu Brahma Jignasa. And every activity of a human being is to be considered a failure without having this inquiry in his mind. So, persons who have awakened this inquiry into his mind as to what I am, why I am suffering, where from I have come, or where I shall go after death. And when these inquiries come and awakened in the mind of a sane human being, then he is practically the right student for understanding Bhagavad Gita. And he must be Suddhava. Suddhava. He must have a respect, a firm respect in the Supreme Personality of God. Such a person as the ideal person was Arjuna. So Lord Krishna, he descends Yadadadahi dharmasya jnani bhavati, just to establish the real purpose of life. When man forgets the real purpose of life, the mission of human form of life, then it is called dharmasya jnani, disturbance of the occupation of human being. So, in that circumstances, out of many, many human beings who awaken, one who awakens the spirit of understanding his position, for him the Bhagavad Gita is spoken. We are just like swallowed by the tigress of nature, and Lord being causelessly merciful upon the living entities, especially for the human being, he spoke Bhagavad Gita, making his friend Arjuna as the student. Arjuna was certainly being an associate of Lord Krishna. He was above all ignorance. But still, Arjuna was put into ignorance in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, just to question about the problems of life to the Supreme Lord, so that the Lord can express them for the benefit of future generation of human beings, to chalk out the plan of his life and act in that way, so that his life, his mission of human life, can be perfect. So in this Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter is comprehending five different truths. The first truth is what is God. It is a preliminary study of the science of God. So, that science of God is explained here. Next, the constitutional position of the living entities, Jiva. Ishara and Jiva. The Lord, the Supreme Lord, is called Ishara. Ishara means controller. And Jiva, the living entities, and the Jiva, the living entities, they are not Ishara or the controller. They are controlled. Artificially, if I say that I am not controlled, I am free, this is not the sign of the same man. A living being is controlled in every respect. At least in his conditioned life, he is controlled. So, in this Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter comprehends about the Ishara, the supreme controller, and about the controlled living entities, and Prakriti, the nature, the material nature, and next, the time, the duration of existence of the whole universe, or the manifestation of the material nature, and the duration of time, or the eternal time, and karma. Karma means activity. Everything, the whole universe, whole manifestation, cosmic manifestation, is full of different activities. The living being, especially, they are all engaged in different activities. So we have to study from the Bhagavad Gita, Ishara, what is God, Jiva, what are these living entities, and Prakriti, what is this cosmic manifestation, and how it is controlled by time, and what are these activities. Now, out of the five subject matter, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is established that the Supreme Godhead of Krishna, or Brahma, or Paramatma, you may call whatever you like, but the Supreme Controller, there is a Supreme Controller. So, the Supreme Controller is the greatest of all. And the living beings, they are in quality like the Supreme Controller. Just like the Supreme Controller, the Lord, he has control over the universal affairs, over the material nature, how it will be explained in the later chapters of Bhagavad Gita, that this material nature is not independent. He is acting under the direction of the Supreme Law. Mayabhyakshena prakriti sriyate sacharachara. This material nature is working under my direction, mayabhyakshena, under my superintendence. So, we are mistaken when we see wonderful things happening in the cosmic nature. We should know that behind these wonderful manifestations, there is a controller. Nothing can be manifested without being controlled. It is childish to not to consider about the controller Just like a very nice motor car with very good speed and very good engineering arrangement is running on this street. A child may think that how this motor car is running without the help of any horse or any pulling agent. But a sane man or an elderly person, he knows that in spite of all engineering arrangements in the motor car, without the driver, it cannot move. That engineering arrangement of a motor car or an electric powerhouse, now, at the present moment, it is the bill of machinery. But we should always know that behind the machinery, behind the wonderful working of the machinery, there is a driver. So, the Supreme Lord is the driver of God. He is the Supreme Personality under whose direction everything is working. Now, these jiva, or the living entities, they have been accepted by the Lord in this Bhagavad Gita, as we will know it in later chapters. So they are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. Mamayivamsa jiva bhuta. Ansa means parts and parcels. Now, as a particle of gold is also partial, a drop of water of the ocean is also salty. Similarly, we, the living entities, being part and parcel of the Supreme Controller, Ishvara, Bhagavan, or Lord Sri Krishna, we have got qualitatively all the qualities of the Supreme Lord in mind. Because we are minute Ishvara, subordinate Ishvara. We are also trying to control. We are just trying to control over the nature. In the present days, we are trying to control over the space. We are trying to flock imitation planets. So this tendency of controlling or creating is there because partially we have got the controlling tendency. But we should know that this tendency is not sufficient. We have the tendency of controlling over the material nature, lording it over the material nature. But we are not the supreme controller. So that thing is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Then, what is this material nature? The nature is also explained. The nature, material nature, is explained in Bhagavad Gita as inferior prakriti. Inferior prakriti and the living entities are explained as a superior prakriti. Prakriti means which is controlled, which is under prakriti. Real meaning of prakriti is a woman or a female. Just like a husband controls the activities of his wife. Similarly, the prakriti is also a subordinate predominated. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the predominator, and the Prakriti, both the living entity and the material nature, they are different Prakritis, or predominated, controlled by the Supreme. So, according to Bhagavad Gita, the living entity, although they are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, they are taken as Prakriti. It is clearly mentioned in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that aparayam itastu vidhi apara. This material nature is apara. Yes. Itastu. And beyond this, there is another Prakriti. And what is that Prakriti? Jiva Bhuta. So, this Prakriti, the constitution of this Prakriti is constituted by three qualities. The mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. And about these modes, three different kinds of modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. There is eternal time. And by combination of these modes of nature and under the control, under the purview of this eternal time, there are activities. There are activities which is called karma. These activities are being done from time immemorial, and we are suffering or enjoying the fruits of our activities. Just like in the present life also, we enjoy the activities, the fruits of our activities. Suppose I am a businessman and I have worked very hard with intelligence and I have amassed a vast amount of bank balance. And now I am the enjoyer. Similarly, suppose I start in my business with a vast amount of money, but I fail to make it successful, I lost all the money. So I am sufferer. So in every field of life, we enjoy the result of our work. This is called karma. So these things, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, are the Supreme Lord, are the living entity, the material nature, the eternal time, and our different activities. These things are explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, out of these five, the Lord, the living entities, and the material nature, and time, these four items are eternal. Now, manifestation of Prakriti may be temporary, but it is not false. Some philosophers say that this manifestation of material nature is false. But according to the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, or according to the philosophy of the Vaishnavas, they do not accept the manifestation of the world as false. They accept that the manifestation is real, but it is temporary. It is just like a cloud takes place in the sky, and the rainy season begins. And after the rainy season, there are so many new green vegetation all over the field we can see. And as soon as the rainy season is finished, and then the cloud is vanquished, generally, gradually, all this vegetation dry up, and again the land becomes barren. Similarly, this material manifestation takes place at a certain interval. We will understand it, we know it from the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhutta Bhutta Pralingyate. These manifestations become magnificent at a certain interval, and again it disappears. That is the work of the prakriti. But it is working eternally. That the prakriti is eternal. It is not false. Because the Lord has accepted mama prakriti, my prakriti. Aparayam itastu vidhine prakriti para. Vinna prakriti. Vinna prakriti, apara prakriti. This material nature is a separate energy of the Supreme Lord and the living entity. They are also energy of the Supreme Lord, but they are not separate. They are eternally related. So, the Lord, the living entity, the nature, material nature, and time, they are all eternal. But the other action, karma, is not eternal. The effects of karma or activity may be very old. We are suffering or enjoying the results of our activity from a time immemorial. But still, we can change the result of our karma or activity. That will depend on our perfect knowledge. We are engaged in various activities, undoubtedly, but we do not know what sort of activities we can adopt that will give us relief from the actions and reactions of all activities. That is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, the position of Ishvara is a supreme consciousness. Position of Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, is supreme consciousness. And the jivas or the living entities, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, he is also conscious. A living entity is also conscious. The living entity is explained as prakriti, energy, and the material nature is also explained as prakriti. But amongst the two, one prakriti, the jiva, they are conscious. The other prakriti is not conscious. That is the difference. Therefore, the jiva prakriti is called superior because the jiva has consciousness. Similar to the Lord. The Lord is supreme consciousness. One should not claim that a jiva, a living entity, is also supremely conscious. No. A living being cannot be supremely conscious at any stage of its perfection. This is a misleading theory.
This is misleading theory.
But he is conscious, that power. But he is not supreme conscious. The supreme conscious, it will be explained in the Bhagavad Gita, in the chapter where the distinction between the jiva and Ishvara is explained. Khetra, khetrabhya. This khetrabhya has been explained that the Lord is also khetrabhya or conscious, and the jiva or the living being, they are also conscious. But the difference is that a living being is conscious within his limited body. But the Lord is conscious of all bodies. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddhesha arjuna tishtati. The Lord lives within the core of heart in every living being. Therefore, he is conscious of the psychic movement activities of the dark, of the particular jiva. We should not forget, it is also expressed that the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is living in everyone's heart as Ishvara, as the controller. And he is giving direction. He is giving direction. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannirishtya. Everyone's heart he is situated, and he gives direction to act as it is there. The living entity forgets what to do. First of all, he makes his determination to act in certain way, and then he is entangled in the actions and reactions of his own karma. But after giving up one type of body, when he enters another type of body, just like we give up one kind of dress, one type of dress, or another type of dress. Similarly, it is explained in this Bhagavad Gita that Bhāsāṁsa jinnāni jathāvihāya, one as one changes his different dresses. Similarly, the living entities, they are also changing different bodies, transmigration of the soul, and pulling on the actions and reactions of his past activities. So, these activities can be changed when a living being is in the mode of goodness, in sanity, and he understands what sort of activity he should adopt. And if he does so, then the whole actions and reactions of his past activities can be changed. Therefore, karma is not eternal. Other things, out of the four, five items, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, and Karma, these four items are eternal, whereas the karma, the item known as karma, that is not eternal. Now, the concept Ishvara, the supreme concept Ishvara, and difference between the supreme concept Ishvara, the Lord, and the living being is, in the present circumstances, is like this. Consciousness of both of the Lord and the living entities, they are, this consciousness is transcendent. It is not that this consciousness is generated by the association of this matter. That is a mistaken idea. the theory that consciousness develops under certain circumstances of material combination is not accepted in the Bhagavad Gita. We cannot. Consciousness may be pervertedly reflected by the cover of material circumstances, just like light reflected through a colored glass may seem according to the color. Similarly, the consciousness of Lord, it is not materially affected. The Supreme Lord, just like Krishna, where he says that Maya Dhakyena Prakriti, when he descends in this material world, his consciousness is not materially affected. Had his consciousness been materially affected, he was unfit to speak about the transcendental subject matter in the Bhagavad Gita. One cannot say anything about the transcendental world without being free from the materially contaminated consciousness. So, the Lord was not materially contaminated. But as our consciousness at the present moment is materially contaminated. So, whole thing, as the Bhagavad Gita teaches, we have to purify the materially contaminated consciousness. And in the pure consciousness, the actions will be done that will make us happy. We cannot stop. We cannot stop our activities. The activities are to be purified. And these purified activities are called bhakti. Bhakti means they appear also just like ordinary activity, but they are not contaminated activities. They are purified activities. So, an ignorant person may see that a devotee is working like an ordinary man, but a person with poor fund of knowledge, he does not know that the activities of the devotee or the activities of the Lord, they are not contaminated by the impure consciousness of matter, impurity of the three gunas, modes of nature, the transcendental consciousness. So, our consciousness is materially contaminated, we should know. Now, when we are such materially contaminated, that is called our conditional stage. And the false ego, the false consciousness is exhibited under the impression that I am one of the products of this material nature. That is called false ego. The whole material activity, jastātma buddhi kunapi sridhāsuke. One who is absorbed in the thought of bodily conception. Now the whole Bhagavad Gita was explained by the Lord because Arjuna represented himself with bodily conception. So, one has to get free from the bodily conception of life. That is the preliminary activity for a transcendental. Who wants to get free who wants to be liberated, he has to learn first of all that he is not the material body. So, this consciousness, the material consciousness, when we are freed from this material consciousness, that is called mukti. Mukti, or liberation, means to become free from material consciousness. In the Srimad Bhagavat also, the definition of liberation is said, mukti hitva anatha rupam sarupena avastiti. Mukti means liberation from the contaminated consciousness of this material world and to become situated in pure consciousness. And the whole instruction of Bhagavad Gita is targeted to awaken that pure consciousness. We find in the last stage of the instruction of Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is asking Arjuna whether he is now in purified consciousness. He was in purified consciousness. The purified consciousness is to act according to the direction of the Lord. That is purified consciousness. That is the whole sum and substance of purified consciousness. Consciousness is already there, but because we are part and parcel, therefore we are affected. There is affinity of being affected by the material mode. But the Lord being supreme, He is never affected. He is never affected. That is the difference between the Lord and the supreme Lord and the. Now, this consciousness is, what is this consciousness? This consciousness is that I am, what I am. When in contaminated consciousness, this I am means that I am the Lord of all I shall be. This is impure consciousness. And I am the enjoyer. The whole material world is moving that every living being is thinking that I am the Lord and I am the creator of the material world. The consciousness has got two psychic movements or two psychic divisions. One is that I am the creator and the other is I am the enjoyer. So, the Supreme Lord is actually the creator and He is actually the enjoyer. And the living entity, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, He is not actually the creator or the enjoyer, but He is a cooperator. That's why the whole machine, the part of the machine, is a cooperator. Is a cooperator. Or, if we can study just the constitution of our body. Now, in the body, there are hands, there are legs, there are eyes, and all these instruments working. But all these parts and parcels of the body, they are not enjoyer. The stomach is the enjoyer. The leg is moving from one place to another. the hand is collecting, the hand is preparing foodstuff, and the feet is chewing, and everything, all parts of body are engaged in satisfying the stomach, because the stomach is the principal and fat within the organization of this body, and everything should be given to the stomach. Pranopaharat is a thing, you know. Just like you can see a tree, a grain, by pouring water in the root, or you can become healthy. And the parts of the body, the hand, the leg, the eye, the ear, the finger, everything, keep in healthy stage when the parts of the body cooperate with the stuff. Similarly, the Supreme Living Being, the Lord, He is the enjoyer. He is the enjoyer. And He is the creator. And we, subordinate living beings, the product of the energy of the Supreme Lord, we are just to cooperate with Him. That cooperation will help. Just for example, a good foodstuff taken by the fingers. If the fingers think that why should we give it to the stomach? Let us enjoy. That is a mistake. The fingers are unable to enjoy. If fingers want the fruit of enjoyment of that particular foodstuff, the fingers must put it into the stomach. So the whole arrangement is that the central figure of creation, the central figure of enjoyment is the Supreme Lord, and the living entities, they are simply cooperate. By cooperation they enjoy. The relation is just like the master and the servant. If the master is satisfied, if the master is fully satisfied, the servant are automatically satisfied. That is the law. Similarly, the Supreme Lord should be satisfied, although the tendency for becoming creator and the tendency to enjoy this material world is there also in the living entities, because it is there in the Supreme Lord. He has created the manifested cosmic world. Therefore, we shall find in this Bhagavad Gita that the complete whole comprising the Supreme Controller, the controlled living entities, the cosmic manifestation, the eternal time, and the activities, all of them are completely explained. So, the whole thing taken together completely is called the Absolute Truth. The complete whole of the Supreme Absolute Truth is therefore the complete personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. As I have explained, that the manifestations are due to His different energies, and He is the complete whole. The impersonal Brahman is explained in the Bhagavad Gita that impersonal Brahma is also subordinate to the complete person. Brahmanaham pratistha. Impersonal Brahma is also It is the impersonal Brahma is a more explicitly explained in the Brahma Sutra. Sutra as the rays, as there is the rays of the sunshine, sun planet. Similarly, the impersonal Brahma is the shining rays of the Supreme Brahma, or the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, impersonal Brahma is incomplete realization of the absolute complete whole, and so also the conception of Paramatma. These things are also explained. Purushottam Yoga. When you shall read the chapter of Purushottam Yoga, it will be seen that the Supreme Personality, Purushottam, is above the impersonal Brahma and partial realization of Paramatma. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Satchidananda Vigraha. In the Brahma Samhita, the beginning is started like this: Ishara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. Govinda, Krishna, is the cause of all causes. He is the prime helper. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Satchidananda Vigraha. Impersonal Brahman realization is the realization of his Sat part, eternity. And Paramatma realization is the realization of Satchit, eternal knowledge, part realization. But realization of the Personality of Godhead as Krishna is realization of all the transcendental features like Sat, Chit and Ananda in complete Vigraha. Vigraha means form. Vigraha means form. Abhaktam bhaktimapannam mannati mavabuddhaya. People with less intelligence, they consider the Supreme Truth as impersonal. But He is the first, the transcendental first. This is confirmed in all Vedic literature. Nitya, Nityanam, Chetana, Chetananam. So, as we are also persons, individual living beings, we are persons, we have got our individuality. We are all individuals. Similarly, the Supreme Truth, the Supreme Absolute, is also the ultimate issue. He is a person. But realization of the Personality of Godhead is realization of all the transcendental features like Sat, Chit and Ananda in complete Vigraha. Vigraha means form. Therefore, the complete whole is not formless. If he is formless or if he is less in any other thing, he cannot be complete whole. The complete whole must have everything within our experience and beyond our experience. Otherwise, he cannot be complete. The complete whole Personality of Godhead has immense potencies. That is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. How he is acting in different potencies. This phenomenal world, or the material world, where we are now put, is also complete by itself, because Purnamidam. The 24 elements of which, according to Sankhya philosophy, the 24 elements of which this material universe is a temporary manifestation, are completely adjusted to produce complete things which are necessary for the maintenance and subsistence of this universe. no extraneous effort by any other unit is required for the maintenance of the universe. It has its own time fixed up by the energy of the complete whole, and when the time is complete, these temporary manifestations will be annihilated by the complete arrangement of the complete. There is complete facility for the small complete unit, namely the living entities, to realize the complete, and all sorts of incompleteness is experienced on account of incomplete knowledge of the complete. So, the Bhagavad Gita is the complete knowledge of the Vedic wisdom. The whole Vedic knowledge is infallible. There are different examples how we take Vedic knowledge as infallible. Take for example, so far the Hindus are concerned, and how they accept the Vedic knowledge as complete, as insignificant example. Just like the cow dung is the stool of an animal. According to Smriti or Vedic wisdom, if one touches the stool of an animal, he has to take his bath to purify himself. But in the Vedic scripture, the cow dung is stated as pure. Rather, impure flesh and impure things are purified by touch of the cow dung. Now, if one argues how it is that in one place it is said that the stool of the animal is impure, in another place it is said that the cow dung, which is also the stool of an animal, it is pure. So it is contradictory. But actually, it may appear to be contradictory, but because it is Vedic injunction, therefore, for our practical purposes, we accept it. And by that acceptance, we are not committing mistake. It has been found by modern case, modern science. One doctor, Lal Mohan Ghosa, he has very minutely analyzed the cow dung, and he has found the cow dung is a composition of all antiseptic properties. So similarly, he has also analyzed the water of the Ganges out of curiosity. So, my idea is that Vedic knowledge is complete because it is above all doubts and all mistakes. And Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. The Vedic knowledge is therefore infallible. It comes down to the perfect disciplic succession. Therefore, this Vedic knowledge is not a thing of research. Our research work is imperfect because we are searching everything with imperfect senses. Therefore, the result of our research work is also imperfect. It cannot be perfect. We have to accept the perfect knowledge. The perfect knowledge is coming down, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that we have begun, evaṁ parampara prāsaṁ nimaṁ rājuṣe. We have to receive the knowledge from the right source in a decisive succession of spiritual masters, beginning from the Lord Himself. So Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Lord Himself, and Arjuna, the student who took lessons from the Bhagavad Gita, he accepted the whole story as it is, without any cutting. That is also not allowed, that we accept a certain portion of Bhagavad Gita and reject another portion. That is also not accepted. We must accept the Bhagavad Gita without interpretation, without any cutting, and without our own whimsical participation in the matter, because it should be taken as the most perfect Vedic knowledge. The Vedic knowledge is received from the transcendental sources because the first word was spoken by the Lord Himself. The word spoken by the Lord is called apogosiya, or not delivered by any person of the mundane world, who is infected with four principles of imperfectness. A living being of the mundane world has four defective principles of his life, and they are: one, that he must commit mistakes; two, he must be sometimes illusion; and three, he must try to cheat others; and four, he is endowed with imperfect senses. With all these four principles of imperfectness, one cannot deliver the perfect form of information in the matter of all-pervading knowledge. The Vedas are not like that. The Vedic knowledge was imparted in the heart of Brahma, the first created living being, and Brahma, in his turn, disseminated the knowledge to his sons and disciples as their original seed from the Lord. The Lord being Purnam, or all-perfect, there is no chance of his becoming subjected to the laws of material nature. One should therefore be intelligent enough to know that except the Lord, nobody is the proprietor of anything within the universe. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhu, matta sarvam pravartate, iti matya bhajanti ma budha bhavo samanta. The Lord is the original creator. He is the creator of Brahma. He is the creator, that is also expressed. He is the creator of Brahma. In the 11th chapter, the Lord is addressed as Prapitama, because Brahma is addressed as Pitamaha, the grandfather. But he is the creator of the grandfather also. So, nobody should claim to be the proprietor of anything, but he must accept things which have set aside with the Lord as his quota of mentions. Now, there are many examples how we have to utilize the allotment of the Lord. That is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, he decided in the beginning that he should not fight. That was his own contemplation. Arjuna said to the Lord that it was not possible for him to enjoy the kingdom after killing his own kinsmen. And that point of view was due to his conception of the body. Because he was thinking that the body was himself and the bodily relatives, his brother, his nephews, his father-in-law, or his grandfather, they were expansion of the body, and he was thinking in that way to satisfy his bodily demands. And the whole thing was spoken by the law just to change the view, and he agreed to work under the direction of the Lord, and he said, Kurishti Vachanam Tava. Therefore, in this world, the human being is not meant for quarreling like the cats and dogs. They must be intelligent enough to realize the importance of the human life and refuse and to act like ordinary animals. A human being should realize the aim of human life. This direction is given in all the Vedic literature, and the essence is given in the Bhagavad Gita. The Vedic literature are meant for the human being and not for the cats and dogs. The cats and dogs can kill their eatable animals, and for that there is no question of sin or their power. But if a man kills an animal for the satisfaction of his uncontrolled taste, he must be responsible for breaking the laws of nature. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly explained that there are three kinds of activities according to the different modes of nature. The activities of goodness, the activities of passion, the activities of ignorance. Similarly, there are three kinds of eatables also. Eatables in goodness, eatables on passion, eatables on ignorance. They are all clearly described. And if we properly utilize the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, then our whole life it becomes purified, and ultimately we shall be able to reach the destination. Jagratyana nivartanti tadhyana paramahama. That information is given in the Bhagavad Gita. That beyond the spiritual material side, there is another spiritual side that is called Sanatana side. In this side, the covered side, we find everything temporary. It is manifested. It stays for some time, gives us some byproduct, and then it becomes dwindling and then vanishes. That is the law of this material world. You take this body, you take a fruit or anything, what is created here, it has started annihilation at the end. So, beyond this temporary world, there is another world for which the information is there. The parastatmasubhava-anya, there is another nature, which is eternal, sanat, which is eternal, and the jiva. Jiva is also described as sanatana. Mamimamsa jiva bhuta jiva loka sanatana. Sanatana. Sanatana means eternal. And the Lord is also described as sanatana in the 11th chapter. So, because we have got intimate relation with the Lord, and we are all qualitatively one, the Sanatana Dham and the Sanatana Supreme Personality and the Sanatana living entity, they are on the same qualitative plane. That's the whole target of Bhagavad Gita is to revive our Sanatana occupation. Sanatana, that is called Sanatana Dharma, or eternal occupation of the living entity. We are now temporarily engaged in different activities, and all these activities being purified, when we give up all these temporary activities, sarva-dhammān parityajya, and when we take up the activity as deserved by the Supreme Lord, that is called our pure life. Therefore, Sanatana Dharma, as mentioned above, that the Supreme Lord is Sanatana, and the transcendental above, which is beyond the spiritual sky, that is also Sanatana. And the living entities, they are also Sanatana. So association of the Sanatana Supreme Lord, Sanatana living entities in the Sanatana eternal above is the ultimate aim of human form of life. The Lord is so kind upon the living entities because the living entities have claimed to be all sons of the Supreme Lord. The Lord declares, sarva joni shikondiya sambhamanti murtayaya. Every living, every type of living entity. There are different types of living entities according to their different karma. But the Lord claims that He is the father of all living entities. And therefore, the Lord descends to reclaim all these forgotten, condition souls back to the Sanatana Dham, the Sanatana sky, so that the Sanatana living entity may again reinstall in a Sanatana position, an eternal association of the Lord. He comes Himself by different incarnations. He sends in a confidential servitor, a son, or associate, or acharya, to reclaim the conditioned souls, and therefore Sanatana Dharma does not mean any sectarian process of religion. It is the eternal function of the eternal living entities in relationship with the eternal Supreme Lord. So far, Sanatana Dharma is concerned, it means the eternal occupation. Because Ramanuja Acharya has explained the word Sanatana as the thing which has neither any beginning nor any end. And when we speak of Sanatana Dharma, we must take it for granted অঞ্জয় ধরে কি আর সীতা রামানুজাচার্য নো বিগিনিং নট এনি এন্ড মোর রিলিজিয়ন ইজ এ লিটল ডিফারেন্ট ফ্রম সনাতন ধর্ম রিলিজিয়ন কনভিন্স দি আইডিয়া অফ ফেথ ফেথ মে চেঞ্জ ওয়ান মে হ্যাভ ফেথ ইন এ পার্টিকুলার প্রসেস অ্যান্ড হি মে চেঞ্জ দি ফেথ আফটার ওয়ার্ড অ্যান্ড অ্যাডপ্ট অ্যানাদার ফেথ বাট সনাতন ধর্ম মিন্স ইট ক্যানট বি চেঞ্জ ইট ক্যানট বি চেঞ্জ just like water and liquidity. Liquidity cannot be changed from water. Heat and fire, heat cannot be changed from fire. Similarly, the eternal function of the eternal living entity, which is known as Sanatana Dharma, cannot be changed. It is not possible to change. We have to find out what is that eternal function of the eternal living entity. When we speak of Sanatana Dharma, therefore, we must take it for granted on the authority of Sripad Ramanujacharya that it has no beginning nor any end. The thing which has no end, no beginning, must not be any sectarian thing or limited by any boundary. When you hold on the conference on the Sanatana Dharma, people belonging to some of the non-eternal religious faith may wrongly consider it that we are dealing in some sectarian thing, but if we go deep into the matter and test everything in the light of modern science, it will be possible for us to see Sanatana Dharma as the business of all the people of the world, nay, all the living entities of the universe. Non-Sanatana religious faith may have some beginning in the annals of the human society, but there cannot be any history of the Sanatana Dharma because it continues to remain with the history of the living entities. So far, living entities are concerned, we find it from the authority of the Shastra. The living entities have also no birth or death. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that the living entity is never born nor does it ever die. Is eternal, indestructible, and continues to live after the destruction of his temporary material body. With reference to the above concept of Sanatana Dharma, we may try to understand the concept of religion. From the Sanskrit root meaning of the word dharma, it means that which is constantly in the particular object. As we have already mentioned, when you speak of fire, it is concluded at the same time that there is heat and light along with the fire. Without heat and without light, there is no meaning of the word fire. Similarly, we must find out the essential part of a living being which is always companion with him. That part of constant companion of the living being is his eternal quality, and the eternal part of the living being's quality is his eternal religion. Friends, Sanatana Goswami asked Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the Sarup. We have already discussed about the Sarup of every living being. Sarup, or real constitution of the living being, the Lord replied that the constitutional position of the living being is to render service to the Supreme Personality of God. But if we analyze this part of the statement of Lord Chaitanya, we can very well see that every living being is constantly engaged in the business of rendering service to another living being. A living being serves another living being in different capacities, and by doing so, the living entity enjoys life. A lower animal serves the human being, a servant serves his master, A serves B master, B serves C master, and C serves D master, and so on. Under this circumstance, we can see that a friend serves another friend, and the mother serves the son, or the wife serves the husband, or husband serves the wife. If we go on searching in that spirit, it will be seen that there is no exception in the society of the living beings where we do not find the activity of service. The politician presents his manifesto before the public and convinces his voters about his service capacity. The voter also gives the politician his valuable vote on expectation that the politician will give service to the society. The shopkeeper serves the customer, and the artisan serves the capitalist. The capitalist serves his family, and the family serves the headman in terms of the eternal capacity of eternal being. In this way, we can see no living being is exempted from the practice of rendering service to other living beings, and therefore we can conclude that service is a thing which is the constant companion of the living being, and therefore it may be safely concluded that rendering of service by a living being is the eternal religion of the living being. When a man professes to belong to a particular type of faith with reference to the particular time and circumstances of birth, and thus one claims to be a Hindu, a Muslim, a Christian, Buddhist, or any other sect, and a subject, such designations are non-Sanatana Dharma. A Hindu may change his faith to become a Muslim, or a Muslim may change his faith to become a Hindu or a Christian, etc. But in all circumstances, such change of religious faith does not allow a person to change his eternal engagement of rendering service to others. A Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian, in all circumstances, he is servant of somebody, and thus to profess a particular type of faith is not to be considered as Sanatana Dharma, but the constant companion of the living being that is rendering of service is the Sanatana Dharma. So, Actually, we are related in the service relationship with the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is a supreme enjoyer, and we living entities are eternally His supreme servitors. We are created for His enjoyment, and if we participate in that eternal enjoyment with the supreme personality of Godhead, that makes us happy, not otherwise. Independently, as we have already explained, that independently, any part of the body, the hand, the feet, the fingers, or any part of the body, independently cannot be happy without cooperation with this karma. Similarly, the living entity can never be happy without rendering him transcendental, loving service to the Supreme Lord. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, the worship of different demigods is not approved. It's not approved because it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 28th verse, the Lord said, kāmaśvastra hitabhyāṇaḥ prapadvanti anna devatāḥ. Kāmaśvastra hitabhyāṇaḥ, those who are drifted by lust, only they worship the demigod other than the Supreme Lord, Krishna. We also may remember that when we speak of Krishna, it is not a sectarian name. The Krishna name means the highest pleasure. It is confirmed that the Supreme Lord is the reservoir, is the storehouse of all pleasure. We are all hankering after pleasure. Ānandamaya abhyāsāt. The living entities or the Lord, because we are full of consciousness, therefore, our consciousness is after happiness. For the happiness, the Lord is also perpetually happy. And if we associate with the Lord, cooperate with Him, take part in His association, then also we become happy. The Lord descends on this mortal world to show His pastime in Vrindavan, full of happiness. When Lord Sri Krishna was in Vrindavan, His activity with His cowherd boy's friend, with His dancing friends, and with the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and His occupation of cowherding in childhood, and all these pastimes of Lord Krishna was full of happiness. The whole of Vrindavan, the whole population of Vrindavan was after Him. They did not know except Krishna. Him, Lord Krishna respected his father, Nanda Maharaj, in worshipping the demi god Indra, because he wanted to establish that people need not worship any other demi god except the Supreme Personality of God. Because the ultimate aim of life is to return to the abode of the Supreme Lord. The abode of Lord Krishna is described in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, 6th verse. Nata bhāsayati sūjya, na sasānka, na pāvukaha, jadgatya, na nivartanti, tadhyāmam, paramam mama. Now, the description of that eternal sky, when we speak of sky, because we have material conception of the sky, therefore we think of the sky with sun, moon, stars like that. But the Lord says that the eternal sky, there is no need of sun. Natat bhāsayati sūjya, na sasānka, na pāvaka. Neither in that eternal sky there is need of moon, na pāvaka, means neither there is necessity of electricity or fire for illuminating. Because the spiritual sky is already illuminated by the Brahma Jyoti. Brahma Jyoti, Yasya Prabha, the ray of the Supreme Abode. Now in these days, when people are trying to reach other planets, it is not very difficult to understand the abode of the Supreme Lord. The abode of the Supreme Lord is the spiritual car, and it is named as Goloka. In the Brahma Sanghita, it is very nicely described. Goloka eva nivasati akhila atma bhuta. The Lord also resides eternally in his abode, Goloka. Still, he is akhila atma bhuta. He can be approached from here also. And the Lord therefore comes to manifest his real form, Satchidananda Vigraha, so that we may not have to imagine. There is no question of imagination. The Lord's presence, by His causeless mercy, He presents Himself in His Shyama Sundar. Unfortunately, people with less intelligence deride at Him. Avajananti māgamūḷa. Because the Lord comes as one of us, and just like plays with us as a human being, Therefore, we need not consider that Lord is one of us. It is His omnipotency that He presents Himself with His real form before us and displays His pastime, just the prototype of His abode. So that abode of Lord, there are innumerable planets also in that Brahma Jyoti. Just like we have got innumerable planets floating on the sun rays. Similarly, in the Brahma Jyoti, which is emanating from the abode of the Supreme Lord, Krishna Lopa, Goloka, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita. All those planets are spiritual planets. They are Ananda Chinmaya. They are not material planets. So, the Lord says, Natat Bhasayati Sujja Nasatansana Bhav Jadgatyana Nivartante Tadhyama Paramahama. Now, anyone who can approach that spiritual sky will not be required to come back again in this material sky. So long we are in the material sky, what to speak of approaching the moon planet? The moon planet, of course, is the nearest planet. But if we approach the highest planet, which is called Brahma Loka, there also we have the same miseries of material life. I mean to say, the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. No planet in the material universe is free from the four principles of material existence. The Lord therefore says in the Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuvanan Lokan Punaravartina Vishwam. Living entities are traveling from one planet to another. It is not that we can simply go to other planets by the mechanical arrangement of this Sputnik. Anyone who desires to go to other planets, there is process. Jyanti deva bhuta divaan pitrim jyanti pitrim bhutaha. If anyone wants to go to any other planet, say moon planet, we need not try to go by the Sputnik. The Bhagavad Gita in the chapter, Jyanti deva bhuta divaan. These moon planets or sun planets or the planets above these bhuloka, they are called sarvaloka, sarvaloka, bhuloka, bhuvanloka, sarvaloka. They are different stages of planets. So, devaloka, they are known just like that. The Bhagavad Gita gives a very simple formula that you can go to the higher planet, Devaloka, Jyanti Deva Vrata Deva. Jyanti Deva Vrata Deva. Deva Vrata, if we practice the process of worshipping the particular demigods, then we can go to that particular planet also. We can go to the sun planet in Him. We can go to the moon planet. We can go to the heavenly planet. But Bhagavad Gita does not advise us to go to any one of the planets in the material world. Because even we go to the Brahma Loka, the highest planet, it is calculated by the modern scientists that we can reach the highest planet by traveling with Sputnik for 40,000 years. Now, it is not possible to live 40,000 years and reach the highest planet of this material universe. But if one devotes his life in the worshipment of the particular demigod, he can approach the particular planet as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Jānti deva bhṛtādi vāt. Pitri jānti pitri bhṛtāha. Similarly, there is pitri lok. Similarly, one who likes to approach the supreme planet, the supreme planet means the Krishna Loka. In the spiritual sky, there are innumerable planets, Sanatana planets, Kitanan planets, which are never described and hidden. But of all those spiritual planets, there is one planet, the original planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan. So these informations are there in the Bhagavad Gita, and we are given the opportunity for leaving this material world and get our eternal life in the eternal kingdom. Now, in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the real picture of this material world is given. It is said that Uddhamulam Madhushakama Sattam Prahurabhayam Sandanshi Yastapannani Dattam Abhira Savedavi. Now this material world is described in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as a tree which has got its root upwards, urdhamulam. Right. Have you experienced of any tree which has its root upwards? We have got this experience of a tree root upwards by reflection. If we stand on the bank of a river or any reservoir of water, we can see that the tree on the bank of the reservoir of water is reflected in the water as trunk downwards and the root upwards. So this material world is practically a reflection of the spiritual world, just like the reflection of the tree on the bank of the reservoir of water is seen downwards. And similarly, this material world, which is called shadow, as in the shadow, there cannot be any reality. But at the same time, from the shadow, we can understand that there is reality. The example of shadow in the shadow of water in the desert suggests that in the desert there is no water, but there is water. Similarly, in the reflection of the spiritual world or in this material world, there is undoubtedly, there is no happiness, there is no water. But the real water or actual happiness is in the spiritual world. The Lord suggests that that one has to reach that spiritual world in the following manner. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha sadhyatma nitya vinirta kamaha dandai vimukya sukhadukha sangai gacchantya mudha padama bhayam. That padama bhayam, that eternal kingdom, can be reached by one who is nirmana moha. Nirmana moha. Nirmana means we are after designations. Artificially we want some designation. Somebody wants to become sir, somebody wants to become lord, somebody wants to become the president, or somebody wants to become a rich man, somebody wants to become something else, king. All these designations, so long we'll have attachment for all these designations, because after all, these designations belong to the body, and we are not this body. This is the first conception of spiritual realization. So, one has no attraction for designation. And jita sanga dosha. Sanga dosha. Now we are associated with the three modes of material quality. And if we become detached by devotional service of the Lord, so long we are not attracted by devotional service of the Lord, we cannot be detached from the three modes of material nature. Therefore, the Lord says, Vinivrittakama, these designations and these attachments are due to our lust, desire. They, we want to lord it over the material nature. So long we do not give up this propensity of lording it over the material nature, at that time there is no possibility of going back to the kingdom of the Supreme, the Sanatana Dhamma. दंदई विमुक्ता सुखदुख संगई गच्छन्ती अमूला पदम अव्यंतम. That eternal kingdom which is never destructible like this material world can be approached by Amura. Amura means a non-bewildered, one who is not bewildered by the attraction of this false enjoyment. And one is situated in the supreme service of the Lord, he is the right person to approach that eternal kingdom. And that eternal kingdom does not require any sun, any moon, or any electricity. That is the glimpse idea of approaching of the eternal kingdom. In another place of the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that abhakta akhara ityukta samahu paramangati yantrathana nivartanti tadhyama paramangati. Abhakta means not manifested. Even the part of material world is not manifested before us. Our senses are so imperfect that we cannot see how many stars, how many planets there are in this material universe. Opposed to the Vedic literature, we get information of all the planets. We are believing or not believing. But all the important planets in which we have connection, they are described in Vedic literature, especially in the Srimadha Bhagavatam. But the spiritual world, which is beyond this material sky, parastatma kubhava anya, but that abhakta, that not manifested, spiritual God is the paramangati. That is, one should desire, one should hanker after reaching the supreme kingdom. And once approaching that supreme kingdom, jantrapa, one approaching or one achieving that supreme kingdom, namivartanti, one hasn't got to return back to this material world. And that place, which is the eternal abode of God, from where we haven't got to return, that should be our. Now, a question may be raised. What is the way, how to approach the supreme abode of the Lord? That is also described in the Bhagavad Gita. It is said on the 8th chapter, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, the process of approaching the Supreme Lord or Supreme Lord's abode is also given there. It is said like this: Antakale chamameva smaran muktya kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam yati nasatra sankhaya. Antakale, at the end of life, at the time of death, antakale cha mameva,
one who thinks of Krishna. Smaran, if he can remember, a dying person at the time of death, if he remembers the form of Krishna, and while remembering in that way, if he quits the present body, then surely he approaches the spiritual kingdom. What bhavam? Bhavam means the spiritual nature. Jab prayati sa madbhavam yati. Madbhavam means just like the nature of the transcendental nature of the Supreme Being. As we have described above, that that the Supreme Lord is Sachidananda Vigraha. He has his form, but his form is eternal, sat, and full of knowledge, chit, and full of bliss, ananda. Now just we can compare our present body, whether this body is Satchidananda. No. This body is asat. Instead of being sat, it is asat. Antavattu inidhiha, Bhagavad Gita says that this body is antavattu, perishable. And sat-chit-ananda, that instead of becoming sat, it is asat, just the opposite. And instead of becoming chit, full of knowledge, it is full of ignorance. We have no knowledge of the spiritual kingdom. Neither we have got any perfect knowledge of this material world. So many things unknown to us. Therefore, this body is ignorant. Instead of becoming full of knowledge, it is ignorant. The body is perishable, full of ignorance, and nirananda. Instead of becoming full of bliss, it is full of misery. All the miseries that we experience in this material world, it is all due to this body. The Lord says that antakale chamameva smaran mukta kalevaram. One who quits this material body simply by remembering Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he at once gets the spiritual body of Satchidananda Vigraha. The process of quitting this body and getting another body in the material world is also organized. A man dies after it has been decided what form of body he will have in the next life. But that is decided by higher authorities. Just like according to our service, we are promoted or degraded. Similarly, according to our act, we are acts of this life, the activities of this life are preparation ground for the next life. We are preparing for our next life by our activities of this life. So, if we can prepare our this life for getting promotion to the kingdom of God, then surely after living, after quitting this material body, the Lord says, japriyati, one who goes. So, madhubhava jati. Madhubhava, he gets the same spiritual body as the Lord has, or the same spiritual nature. Now, there are different kinds of transcendentals, as we have already explained above. The Brahmavadi, the Paramatmavadi, and the devotees. In spiritual sky, or in the Brahma Jyoti, there are spiritual planets, innumerable spiritual planets, we have already discussed. And the number of those planets are far, far greater than all the universes of this material world. This material world is ekam sena pitu jagat. This is 1/4 part manifestation of the whole creation. 3/4 part of the creation is the spiritual world. And in the 1/4 part of this creation, there are millions of universes like this, which we are experiencing at the present moment. And in one universe, there are millions and billions of planets. So, there are millions and billions of suns and stars and moons in all this material world. But all this material world constitute only 1/4 manifestation of the whole creation. The 3/4 manifestation is in the spiritual sky. Now this Madhubhava, one who desires to merge into the existence of the Supreme Brahman, they merge in the Brahma Jyoti of the Supreme Lord. Madhubhava means that Brahma Jyoti as well as the spiritual planets in the Brahma Jyoti. And the devotees who want to enjoy the association of the Lord, they enter into the planet, Vaikuntha planet. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets. And the Lord, Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, by plenary expansion as Narayana with four hands, with different names, Padmana, Anuruddha, and Madhava, Govinda. There are many innumerable names of these four-handed Narayana. So, what are the planets? That is also Madhubhava. That is also within the spiritual nature. So, any transcendental who at the end of life, as he thinks of the Brahma Jyoti or meditates upon the Paramatma or thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, in either case, they enter into the spiritual sky, but only the devotees, those who have practiced personal touch with the Supreme Lord, they enter into the Vaikuntha planet or the Golok Vrindavan planet. The Lord says, Japyati sa madhavam yati na asti atra samsaya. There is no doubt. One should not disbelieve. That is the question. You are reading Bhagavad Gita throughout the whole life, but when the Lord speaks something which does not tally with our imagination, we reject. That is not the process of Bhagavad Gita reading. Just like Arjuna says, the sarvavayatam vitam manne, I believe in everything, whatever he has said. Similarly hearing, the Lord says, that at the time of death, whoever thinks of him, either as Brahma or Paramatma or the Personality of God, certainly he enters into the spiritual sky, and there is no doubt about it. One should not disbelieve, and the process is Janan Ruli also stated in the Bhagavad Gita how it is possible to get in the spiritual kingdom simply by thinking of the Supreme at the time of death. Because the general process is also mentioned. Yanjana bhāpi smarana bhāvam tajatante kalevaram tam tameva aiti kaunteya sada tadbhāva bhāvitaha. There are different bhavas. Now, this material nature is also one of the bhavas, as we have already explained, that this material nature is also the display of one of the energies of the Supreme Lord. In the Vishnu Purana, the total energies of the Supreme Lord has been summarized. Vishnu Shakti Parabhokta Kitrugyatya Tatha Para Avidya Parnasanga Anya Sitya Satrishyati. The only energy, potency of the Parasa Shakti Vivida Yusyate, the Supreme Lord has diverse energies, innumerable energies, which he cannot conceive. But great learned sages, liberated souls, they have studied and they have summarized the whole energies into three parts, into three headings. The first is, so all the energies are Vishnu Shakti,
all the energies, the different potencies of the Lord Vishnu. Now, that energy is para, transcendental. And Kshetrajnaka Tatha para, and the living entities, Kshetrajna, they are also belonging to the group of that superior energy, as is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita also. We have already explained. And the other energy, the material energy, is Tithya Karma Sangha Anya. The other energy is in the mode of ignorance. So that is material energy. So material energy is also Bhagavad Bhava. So at the time of death, either we can remain in the material energy or this material world, or we can transfer into the spiritual world. That is the criterion. So the Bhagavad Gita says, Janyanamati Smaranabhavam Tajatanti Kalivanam Tam Tameva Aitikantiya Sada Tadabhavam. Now, as you are accustomed to think either of this material energy or of the spiritual energy. Now, how to transfer the thinking of the material energy, how it can be transferred into thinking of the spiritual energy. So, for thinking in the spiritual energy, the Vedic literatures are there. Just like thinking in the material energy, there are so many literatures, newspapers, magazines, novels, fiction, and so many things, full of literature. So our thinking are absorbed in these literatures. Similarly, if we want to transfer our thinking in the spiritual atmosphere, then we have to transfer our reading capacity to the Vedic literature. The learned sages, therefore, made so many Vedic literature, the Puranas. The Puranas are not stories, they are historical records. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is a word which reads as follows: Anadi Bohinmukh Ji Krishna Bhuli Gela. Atayev Krishna Veda Purana Kurila. That this forgetful living entity, conditioned souls, they have forgotten the relationship with the Supreme Lord, and they are engrossed in thinking of the material activity. And just to transfer their thinking power to the spiritual capacity, the Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, he has made so many Vedic literatures. Vedic literatures means, first he divided the Vedas into four, then he explained them by the Puranas, then for the incapable person, just like Sri Shudra Vaisa, He made the Mahabharata, and in the Mahabharata, he introduced this Bhagavad Gita. Then again, he summarized the whole Vedic literature in the Vedanta Sutra, and the Vedanta Sutra, for future guidance, he made a national commentation by himself, which is called Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is called Bhaskaryam Brahma Sutranam. It is the natural commentation of Vedanta Sutra. So all this literature, if we transfer our thought, Tadabhava Bhavita, Sada, Sada Tadabhava Bhavita, one who is engaged always, just like the materialist is always engaged in reading some material literature, like newspaper, magazines, and fiction, novel, etc., and so many scientific philosophies, all these things have different degrees of thought. Similarly, if we transfer that reading capacity for this basic literature as presented by, very kindly presented by, by Vyasadeva, then it is quite possible for us to remember at the time of death the Supreme Lord. That is the only way suggested by the Lord Himself, not suggesting the fact. Nasti aprasamsaya. Undoubtedly, there is no doubt about it. Tasmat, the Lord suggested, therefore, tasmat sarvesu kalesu mam smara yuddhastha. He advised Arjuna that mam anusmara yuddhastha. He does not say that you simply go on remembering me and give up your present occupational duty. No. That is not suggested. The Lord never suggests something impractical. This material world, to maintain this body, one has to work. The work is divided into four divisions of social order. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the intelligent class of the society, they are working in a different way. And the administrator class of society, they are also working in a different way. The mercantile society, the productive society, they are also working in a different way. And the laborer class, they are also working in a different way. And the human society, either as laborer or as mercantile man, or as politicians, administrators, or as the highest class of intelligent class of men in literary career, scientific researches, everyone is engaged in some work, and one has to work, struggle for existence. The Lord advises that you need not give up your occupation, but at the same time, you can remember Mahamanusmara. That will make you, that will help you in remembering me at the time of death. If you don't practice remembering me always, along with your struggle for existence,
then it is not possible. It is not possible. The same thing is advised by Lord Chaitanya. Kirtaniya Sadaha. Kirtaniya Sadaha. One should practice to chant the name of the Lord. Always. The name of Lord and the Lord is not different. So here, the instruction of Lord Krishna to Arjuna, that Mam Anusmara, you just remember me. And Lord Chaitanya's instruction that you chant always the name of Krishna. Yet Krishna says that you always remember me or you remember Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya says you always chant the name of Krishna. So there is no difference. Because Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different in the absolute. In the absolute status, there is no difference between one thing and another. That is the absolute state. So the Lord being absolute, there is no difference between His name and things. So we have to practice like that. Tasma sarvesu kalesu. Always, 24 hours, we have to mold our activities of life in such a way that we can remember 24 hours. How is it possible? Yes, it is possible. It is possible. A very crude example is set by the acharyas in this connection. And what is that example? It is said that a woman who is attached to another man, although she has got a husband, still he is attached to another man. And this attachment becomes very strong. This is called parokyara. Either in case of man or woman. If a man has got attachment for another woman besides his wife, or a woman has got attachment for another man besides his husband, that attachment is very strong. That attachment is very strong. So the acharyas give this example as a bad character woman who has got attachment for other husband. She always thinks at the same time shows her husband that she is very much busy in the family affair. So that her husband may not doubt her character. So, as she is always remembering the time of meeting with her lover at night, in spite of doing all this household work very nicely, similarly, one has to remember the Supreme Husband, Sri Krishna. Always, in his prayer, doing these material duties very nicely, very possible. It is required a strong sense of love. When you have got a strong sense of love for the Supreme Lord, then it is possible that we can go on discharging our duty at the same time remembering the Lord. So, We have to develop that sense. And just like Arjuna was always thinking of love. He said, out of 24 hours, not for a second, he could forget Krishna. Constant companion of Krishna. At the same time, a warrior. Lord Krishna did not advise Arjuna to give up his fighting, go to the forest, go to the Himalaya and meditate. When Yoga system was advised to Arjuna, Arjuna declined that this system is not possible for me. When the Lord said, Yoginamati Sarvesam, Madgata Antarasana, Madgati Antarasana, Siddhavan Bhajati Jumam, Samidhutamavata. So, one who thinks of the Supreme Lord always, he is the greatest yogi. He is the supermost jnani. And he is also the greatest devotee at the same time. The Lord advises the tasma sarvesu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhu. As a kshatriya, you cannot give up your fighting business. You have to fight. So, at the same time, if you practice remembering me always, then it is possible antakale samame vasmanam, then it is possible to remember me also at the time of death. Maya tito mano buddhi mameva visvasi ahamsaya. Again, he says that there is no doubt. If one is completely surrendered into the service of the Lord, into the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Maya jito mano buddhi. Because we work not with our body, actually. We work with our mind and intelligence. So if our intelligence and mind are always engaged in the thought of the Supreme Lord, then naturally our senses are also engaged in the service of the Lord. That is the secret of Bhagavad Gita. One has to learn this art. How one can be absorbed both by the mind and intelligence, 24 hours thinking of the Lord. And that will help one to transfer himself into the kingdom of God or in the spiritual atmosphere after leaving this material world. The modern scientists, they are trying for years and years together, polishing the moon planet, and they have no approach as yet. But here in the Bhagavad Gita, here in the suggestion, suppose a man lives for another 15 years, and nobody tries to elevate himself in the spiritual idea for 50 years. That's a very good idea. But even for 10 years or 5 years, one sincerely tries for the practice. Maya jito mano buddhi. It is simply a question of practice. And that practice can be very easily possible by the devotional process, sravanam. Sravanam. The easiest process is to hear. Sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, sadhu, sivanam, archanam, vandanam, dasam, sakkamasam, leena. These nine processes. So, the easiest process is simply hearing. Hearing of this Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam from the realized person, that he train up oneself, into the thought of the Supreme Being, 24 hours, which will lead one ultimately, antakali, to remember the Supreme Lord, and thus, leaving this body, he will have a spiritual body, just fit for association with the Lord. The Lord therefore says, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktina Chivaka Nanugamina Paramam Purusam Digam Yati Patha Anishintayan. Anishintayan. Constantly thinking of himself. Only. It is not a very difficult process. One has to learn this process from the experienced persons in this life. Sadhijanatmisa Gurumiva with a faith, one should approach a person who is already in the practice. So, Abhyasa Yoga Yukti. This is called Abhyasa Yoga. Practice. Abhyasa Yoga. How to remember the Supreme Lord always. Kitukhananadamino. The mind is always flying to this, to that. So one has to practice, to concentrate the mind into the form of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Always. All in His sound, in His name. It is very easier. Instead of concentrating on my mind can be very restless, going there and there. But I can concentrate my ear into the sound vibration of Krishna. And that will also help me. That is also possible. Sītathā nāmagānyana paramam purusam vibham. Paramam purus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a spiritual kingdom, and the spiritual pride, one can approach anuchintayana, constantly thinking. So, these processes, the ways and means, all are stated in Bhagavad Gita. And there is no bar for anyone. It is not that that a particular class of men can approach. Thinking of Lord Krishna is possible. Hearing of Lord Krishna is possible by everyone. And the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Māni pārta vipāt sritya jītisu pāpajūna sriyā sudhya sathāvishya sethiyānti parāṅgutīṁ kīntunāṁ dhāmanā puṇyā bhaktārājasya sathā asukham anittam asukham lokam imam prāpta bhajastamā. The Lord says, that in a human being, in the lowest status of life, or in a fallen woman, or a mercantile man, or a liberal class of man. The mercantile class of man, the liberal class of man, and the woman class, they are counted in the same category, because their intelligence is not so developed. But the Lord says, they also, or even lower than them, Mahi Pasu Vipasu to Jeevish. Not only they, or lower than them, or anyone, it does not matter who is he or who is he, anyone who accepts this principle of Bhakti Yoga and accepts the Supreme Lord as the Sanambhunam of life, the highest target, highest goal of life. Mahi Pasu Vipasu Jeevish. He is on the paragati, that paragati in the spiritual kingdom and the spiritual sky. Everyone can approach simply one has to practice the system. That system is hinted in the Bhagavad Gita very nicely. And one can adopt it and make his life perfect. And make a permanent solution of life. That is the common substance of the whole Dharma. Therefore, the conclusion is that Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read very carefully. Gita Sastramidam Punyam Japate Sajata Puma. And the result will be if he properly follows the instruction, then he can be freed from all miseries of life, all anxieties of life. Bhayashokadi vibhajitam. All fears of life, in this life, as well as he will get a spiritual life in the next life. Gita dhyana silakta pranayama pranayama parasthacha naiva sandhihi papani putbhajan kritanicha. The another advantage is that if one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reaction of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. The Lord says very loudly in the Bhagavad Gita in the last portion, Ahankang Sarupapi Bha Mokhoishami Mahatucha. The Lord takes the responsibility. One who surrenders unto the Lord, he takes the responsibility to indemnify from all reactions of sins. Maraninmochanam pungsham jalasnanadi dinedine. Jalasnanam dinedine sakrit gitam musisnanam samsaram malam asanam. One cleanses oneself daily by getting bath in the water. But one who takes one's bath in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, he is the dirty material life is altogether vanquished. Gita Sukita Kartavya Kimanvain Shastra Vistrai Yatyam Padmanavasya Mukha Padma Dhinistrita. Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, people may not read all other Vedic literature simply if we are thinkingly and regularly reads and hears Bhagavad Gita, 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 Kartavya, and one should adopt these means, by all means, Gita, Gita, Kartavya, human name, Shastra Vistrai, because in the present age, people are embarrassed with so many things that it is hardly possible to divert their attention in all the Vedic literature. This one literature we do because it is a sense of all Vedic literature and especially spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bharatam mitasarvastam Vishnu bhaktya dhinisritam Gita gangodakam pitva punajanma naviddhate. As it is said that one who drinks the water of the Ganges, he also gets salvation. Then what to speak of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the next in the whole Mahabharata and is spoken by Vishnu. Lord Krishna is the original Vishnu. Vishnu Bhakta Dhinisritam. It is coming out of the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gangodakam, Ganges, is said to be emanated from the lotus feet of the Lord, and Bhagavad Gita is emanated from the mouth of the Lord. Of course, there is no difference between the mouth and the feet of the Supreme Lord. From neutral position we can study that Bhagavad Gita is even more important than the Ganges water. Sarvopanishuto gava dugdha Gopala Nandana Partha Vatsa Sri Bhakta Dugdham Gita Mritam Maha. Yes, this Gita Upanishad is just like a cow, and the Lord is famous as cow boy, and he was milking this cow. Sarva Upanishad. And it is the essence of all Upanishads and represented as the cow and the Lord being expert cowboy. He is milking the cow and Partha Vatsa. And Arjuna is just like the cow and Sudhir Bhokta and learned scholars and pure devotees, they are to take this milk. Sudhir Bhokta Gurdham Gita Amritamahat. The nectar, the milk of Bhagavad Gita is meant for learned devotees. Evam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eka Deva Devaki Putra Eva Eka Mantra Kasya Navani Yani Karma Karmapi Ekam Kasya Devasya Siva. Now, the world should learn from the Bhagavad Gita the lesson, evam sastram devaki putra gitam. There is one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, for the people of the whole world, and that is this Bhagavad Gita. Deva devaki putra eva. And there is one God for the whole world, is Sri Krishna. And eka mantra stasya navani, and one hymn, mantra, one hymn only, one prayer, or one hymn is to chant his name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Eka mantra sastha navani jani karmapi ekam tasya devasya siva. And there is one work only, that is to serve the Supreme Personality of God. If one learns from Bhagavad Gita, then the people are very much anxious to have one religion, one God, one scripture, and one business, or one activity of life. This is summarized in the Bhagavad Gita. That one God is Krishna. Krishna is not sectarian God. Krishna, from the name of Krishna, Krishna means, as we have explained, God, Krishna means the greatest place. So therefore,